13th, this is Spingola Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola. I'm coming to you from the sunny suburbs of Chicago. Spring is in the air, the birds are chirping, and it looks like a wonderful day. Thanks for joining me today on RBN for people who can handle the truth. RBN's website is republicbroadcasting.org. To see the guest lineup and relevant links for this program, please visit spingola.com. Click on the radio schedule button, then the appropriate month. Follow some of the interesting links, usually associated with or at least compatible with the ideas of the guest for that day. People who listen to RBN understand that deep-pocketed special interests control the corporate media and the government. During the program, email your questions or comments to Spingola1 at yahoo.com. Join others in the chat room by clicking on the chat room button on my website or by going to spingola.chatango.com. We probably will not take calls today as we have one guest each hour. My guest this first hour is Douglas Valentine. He is the author of The Phoenix Program and other books. He recently just published his first book of poems, and it's called A Crow's Dream, Poems by Douglas Valentine. His website is douglasvalentine.com. Today we're going to be talking about The Phoenix Program. Welcome to the program, Doug.
Hi, Deanna. Thank you for having me on the show.
Well, it's wonderful to have you back, and I just love your work. You get into so many details. You're very detail-oriented, and you just include so many wonderful details in your books.
You know, and that's a strength, and for some people it's a little bit of a, makes it a little bit difficult, but the Phoenix Program was something that was worth documenting because it was basically a secret program, and it was very important, but it was secret, and so I felt that there should be something on the record explaining as much about it in as much detail as possible.
Right, and I think that your book is if you could call it, it is a Bible of the Phoenix Program. It just has, nobody else would need to write a book about this program because you've covered so many aspects of it. Nobody could do it better. I think you've done it the way that it should be done, and well, it doesn't need another book. Nobody needs to write another book about it.
Thank you very much for saying that. In a way, I had to make a decision. Would I just write about, five or six or ten people who were primary in the program, or should I write about as many people and get as many views as possible? And again, for the historical record, I decided it was more important to talk with as many people as possible, and to feature as many people as possible. And I think it works because it really shows what the program was really about from a lot of points of views, which tend to corroborate each other and support each other rather than contradict each other.
Right. And the other thing that you did that adds even more to the book and more to if people want expanded knowledge about this, you have the Phoenix Program Document Library online where people can go and actually see these documents and see for themselves. All right, we do have to take a 3-minute break. We will be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Are you facing foreclosure? Worried about late payments? Fight back and stay in your home. Zero Debt Guaranteed can help. We'll send you a free ebook just for calling 800-477-9256 or go to zerodebtguaranteed.com. Get the details on how to remove your risk to your debt, and so important to many homeowners today, how to stop foreclosure.
For or get loan modification.
The Zero Debt in 90 Days system can show you how to get the bank to pay your property taxes and insurance while stopping your foreclosure.
Without paying one dime.
You can take control. Stop foreclosure. Protect your cash, assets, wages, property, and sleep peacefully at night.
We've been helping people for over 18 years.
Call Zero Debt Guaranteed, 800-477-9256. Ask for free information, no obligation. That's 800-477-9256. Or visit ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com now.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us at 1-877-605-9200.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Douglas Valentine, the author of The Phoenix Program. His website is douglasvalentine.com, where you can see information about his other books. Okay, Doug, you were talking about all the various people that you had interviewed regarding their participation in this program, and you've included that in your book.
Yes, and the thing I'd like to stress is that I talked with people like Ted Shackley, who was the CIA's station chief in Saigon from 1969 to 1972. I mean, Shackley is a famous person in CIA history. And, of course, as the station chief in Saigon, he ran all the CIA's operations. So I got his input into exactly what the CIA was doing with the Phoenix operation. But I also talked to people who were at the province level, people who were in the districts, to find out what the stated purposes, you know, like people like Shackley would say, well, this is the policy. But then I also went and talked to low-level people who worked in the provinces and districts, and I said, well, were the things that they were saying about what the policy was trying to do, was that actually what was happening out in the field? And more times than not, the people in the field would have a completely different perspective of the operational realities than what the people at the top were saying. And what this emphasized, and you can apply it to any part of the government, in, you know, the State Department, the military, anywhere around the world, in Iraq, in Afghanistan, in the United States, is that the people at the top who are the people that the press interviews, tell you one thing. But then if you actually, you know, and it's the way things are supposed to be and the way they want you to think things are. But if you actually go out and talk to the people, the lieutenant colonels and the captains and the lieutenants and the sergeants and the guys who are out on the ground, very often they'll just tell you, you know, it's completely the opposite. You know, the people didn't support us. They didn't want us there. The government was corrupt. Everybody was dealing on the black market. You know, all sorts of things like that that you never hear on CBS or NBC about any of the policies that the country, that the government, you know, is running around the world.
And so I would assume that if the Vietnamese didn't want us there, that probably that would hold true for Afghanistan and Iraq, despite the things that we hear on broadcast radio.
Well, you know, the United States basically knows, people in the United States basically know nothing about what happened in Iraq. They may know a soldier who was over there and came back, and the guy doesn't want to talk about it. Because nobody's actually written a book about Iraq like this book, The Phoenix Program. And it's generally about Vietnam, because you generally have to wait 10 or 15 years until one of these things is over before you can find people who want to talk about it. Now, I was lucky with Vietnam, because that was 40 years ago. It was 20 years after when I started writing it. The war had been over for 10 or 15 years. There wasn't the amount of secrecy that there is now. There was more press coverage of what happened in Vietnam than there's been in Iraq. And I was able to find people who would talk about what happened in Vietnam. But I don't know that anybody's ever going to be able to do that about what's happened in Iraq and what's happening in Iraq, because in a place like Iraq, it's not over. The United States hasn't left. It still has 1,000 CIA officers running the country. And until that would stop, and it's very unlikely that it ever will stop, nobody's ever going to know what happened there and what's happening there. Not really.
Is that because there's still resources and still objectives that they have in Iraq that they did not have in Vietnam? Did they meet whatever their objectives were in Vietnam?
I would say that the objectives are somewhat different, but, you know, basically the same, except that the difference is that the United States left Vietnam in 1975 entirely. And so it was over. It was done, and there was no sense that, well, we have to hang on to Vietnam, and we have an investment in Vietnam. There was a clean break, and so people were willing to talk about what happened in Iraq. That's not the case. There hasn't been a clean break. The military has left to the extent that there aren't allegedly combat forces there anymore. But there's still a huge CIA presence, and there's still a huge special forces presence, and there's still probably 10,000 contractors there that are running the government, running the military, running the police, pitting the various factions against each other, setting up militias and having the militias fight each other. And, you know, continuing to destabilize the country on a daily basis so that the oil companies can get their oil and try to get some profit out of this $2 trillion boondoggle that happened.
Right. So the CIA basically is just creating chaos in that country to keep the war going, to justify the U.S. spending all that money, continuing to spend all that money, just the same as they did in Vietnam, where they would blow up post offices and do all of this horrible stuff over there and then blame it on somebody else to justify.
That's exactly what it is. But if you know, nobody is actually reporting about any of this. Once it was such a disaster that American people don't want to hear about what a disaster it was. Nobody wants CBS or NBC telling them every day what a disaster it was for the Iraqi people. Just destroyed their country, just wrecked their country. And the only way that the United States can continue to have any influence in Iraq is just to continue to destabilize it so that the Iraqi people cannot coalesce and unite and present any kind of united front against the Americans that run the place.
Amazing. That is just amazing. Well, tell us, and thanks for telling us about Iraq and drawing the comparison between the two countries. But tell us some of the other people that you interviewed and that participated in the specifically the pacification program in Vietnam.
Okay. Like I said, I had interviewed Shackley, who was the station chief. I interviewed William Colby, who was later director of Central Intelligence Agency. And in my interviews with him, he described pacification as one part of the United States plan to control Vietnam. There was military security, which was preventing the North Vietnamese soldiers from coming into South Vietnam. And there was territorial security, which was protecting the villages from Viet Cong soldiers. And then there was pacification. And pacification was basically controlling people's political beliefs, making sure that people in the villages and people in the cities couldn't actually have any contact with people who were against the government, the nationalists who were fighting the United States. And that was the job of Phoenix, was to make sure that all the communists were rounded up and detained, and that they didn't have any influence. They couldn't have any influence. The nationalists who were associated with the communists, anybody who was fighting the United States on a political level, couldn't have anything to do with average citizens who might have been, just wanted the war to go away. And this happened out in the countryside, in the villages, in the districts. And there were Phoenix people in the villages, in the districts, who's, way out in the countryside, who were trying to make sure this happened. And I spoke to those soldiers and CIA people. And then there were people in Saigon, the city, big, huge city, millions of people, who were trying to do the same thing. And of course, some of the most interesting things were happening in Saigon. And I talked to the Phoenix people who were running Phoenix operations in Saigon. And one of them, a guy named Shelby Roberts, who was a captain at the time, described to me, and it's all in the book, about the different precincts that were in Saigon and how Phoenix approached each of these different precincts in Saigon as to whether or not there was Chinese in the precinct or rich people or poor people, and how they worked with the CIA and how the CIA was basically in charge, and how they brought the special forces and the police into these operations. And basically the operations were that they would go into a neighborhood and just kick.
Doug, I'm sorry. We need to take a quick break. I hate to interrupt. I just love this. This is these historical things that you're talking about. We'll be right back.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology, all while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureFectFilters.com.
Golden Stag Safaris invites you to hunt in one of Argentina's most beautiful scenarios. Enjoy the quietness of the Pampas and the five-star accommodation lodge. Excellent food and wine included in your stay, all the while hunting big game in the Argentine Valley, an area known for having a wide range of game, excellent trophies, the biggest stags in South America, as well as many other species, all gold medal quality. One-on-one guided hunts, rental guns available with the highest quality scopes in every caliber, Land Rovers for transport, pickup at Buenos Aires Airport, and a private aircraft for charter is all available. Go to www.goldenstagsafaris.com to see photos and for more information. Again, www.goldenstagsafaris.com.
Now more than ever, killing many viruses and bacteria in our homes and at work is important. With the flu epidemic running rampant, you need to protect yourself and your family the best you can with purified air. Our air purifiers not only kill many viruses and bacteria in the air, but on surfaces too. Our air purifiers will also kill molds, fungi, mildew, oxidizes chemical fumes and toxic gases, removes dust, pollen, pet odors, and smoke. We have portable units, HVAC and industrial size units. In our homes today, protect your family the best you can by calling 1-877-605-9200 or go to our online store at republicbroadcasting.org. Call today to receive your 10% off and free shipping on any home unit. 1-877-605-9200.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest this hour is Douglas Valentine, the author of The Phoenix Program. I highly recommend this book. It's just a must read. And his website is douglasvalentine.com. Now, didn't CIA perpetrate a lot of the activities, the terrorist activities, and then they blamed the Viet Cong for? And you mentioned nationalist, and it's kind of hard, depending on who you read, whether you can say, well, the Viet Cong was a nationalist organization, or were they a communist organization?
Well, they were both, you know, and basically what the leadership of the Viet Cong was Communist Party members, the Lao Dong Party, and they were the focus of the Phoenix operation in a theoretical sense. But these were only a small percentage of the people that were resisting the United States. They were the leadership, but the people who were carrying arms and working in the various what they called fronts, whether they were teachers or postmen or railroad workers, they all had organizations. These people weren't necessarily communists. They were just people who thought that the communists were offering the policies that were best for Vietnam, such as land reform, giving land to the people who didn't. 1% of the people in Vietnam were very wealthy, and they owned 99% of the land. And people wanted to own their own land, and the Viet Cong said, "Well, we'll give you some land." And so people supported those policies, but they weren't necessarily communists. So it was convenient for the CIA to say we're just going after communists, but in fact, they were going after anybody who opposed them, and that was, you know, more than 50% of the people, because as obviously became true, you know, was proven to be true, they won the war. They couldn't have won the war if most of the people didn't support them. And so there was a lot of fictions that were, presented by the United States government in terms of rationalizing the violence that they used against the people who were opposing them. And lots of times these people were not terrorists. They were not communists. They weren't even supporting the revolutionaries in any way. They had no blood on their hands. They just wanted to live in a better country and opposed American policies, and that was enough to get them put on a blacklist. And in trying to explain Phoenix, as I was trying to do before the break, and its operations in the big city of Saigon, which is millions of people, you have to understand that the Phoenix program had a blacklist. The CIA registered everybody in Vietnam, and they made them carry an ID card, and they had information about every person in Vietnam, and they would go through these lists, and they would try to identify anybody who was on the other side, anybody they didn't like. And then they would go through these blacklists, and they would rate people as to whether or not they were a serious threat or only a little threat or just a small, you know, or a medium threat. And then they would go out and get them, and they would put them in detention camps, and they would torture them, and they would try to get them to rat out their friends. And of course, when you're being tortured or you're being kept in prison and you can't support your family, you'll say anything. So there was just a lot of corruption. The police were blackmailing everybody, extorting everybody. And the corruption was just like I'm trying to tell you what happens in Baghdad today. The CIA used the corruption just to totally destabilize the country and make everybody afraid of everybody else and pit everybody against everybody. And in that way, they could control what was happening. It was, you know, a kind of a controlled chaos. And that's exactly what the Phoenix program was doing. They would have these blacklists, and they'd go into neighborhoods of Saigon in the middle of the night with a group of special forces soldiers and 100 cops, and they would just cordon off an entire neighborhood. And they would go through every family was on the list, and they would say, like, send your daughter over to my office tonight, and I need to talk to her. And the people would say, oh, no, please don't take my daughter, and say, well, you know, what can you do for me? And, well, we'll give you $50, and you know, and that particular family got off. But if you couldn't give them some money, then your family went to prison and jail. And it was just a huge, horrible mess. And I can say to you without any doubt that the same thing is happening in Baghdad today. And Kandahar and Kabul and Afghanistan and every other place around the world where the CIA is conducting counterinsurgency operations. It's exactly the way it works.
And that's why they were created to begin with, was to do just exactly what they're doing and to keep it from the American people. And
right. Exactly, and the press goes along with it. You can't, you know, there's been absolutely no reporting about what happens on the streets of Baghdad.
Oh, of course not. All righty, we are going to take a quick 3-minute break. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
In an emergency situation, would you drink contaminated water? You could if you had the amazing Life Straw from MyPatriotSupply.com. Life Straw is the most advanced personal water filter available today. It filters contaminated water from almost any source. LifeStraw is lightweight and compact, perfect for hiking, camping, or in an emergency like a flood. LifeStraw is easy to clean, comes with a one-year warranty, and has been used worldwide since 2005. Get the amazing LifeStraw personal water filter at MyPatriotSupply.com. Plus, check out Survival Seed Vault, 20 seed varieties for only $37.95, Tattler canning lids, long-term storable foods as low as $69.95, and much more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Enjoy stress-free shipping on all orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927 or visit MyPatriotSupply.com. That's 866-229-0927, MyPatriotSupply.com, for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence.
With financial uncertainty circling the globe due to job losses, decline in the housing market, a climate of corruption, bailouts, currency rigging, and unfair competition, many are once more turning to precious metals as the only hedge against the uncertainty of the future. With the U.S. House conducting hearings on proposals to confiscate workers' personal retirement accounts, including 401ks and IRAs, this is the time to secure your assets. Call Republic Trading Group today, 800-691-7898, before this happens, and find out how easy it is to convert your existing IRA and in some instances your 401k plan into real wealth now. Don't let the ravages of hyperinflation caused by the massive increase of fiat currency now flooding world markets affect your retirement account. Call RTG at 800-691-7898 and experience the security and peace of mind that only real gold and silver can offer. That number again is 800-691-7898. Call now.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest this hour is Douglas Valentine, the author of the Phoenix Program. His website is douglasvalentine.com. And, Doug, you were talking about the blacklist and the CIA, the function of the CIA. Now, didn't the CIA also relocate people? Part of the pacification program was to isolate people in camps so that they couldn't communicate with others. But didn't they also deport a massive group of Catholics from the north to the south in order to create some sort of a religious crisis?
Well, they did that in 1954 when, at one point, Vietnam was one country. And in I can't remember exactly what year it was. I think it was 54. The great powers, the United States, China, and Britain, I believe, split Vietnam in half. And they made a North Vietnam and a South Vietnam, which had never existed before in history. And they said, we're giving the North to the communists, and we're taking the South for ourselves. And all the Catholics who were in North Vietnam decided to come south, and the CIA did what it always does, and it spread all sorts of propaganda. It said that the communists were raping Catholic women and sticking bamboo slivers into the ears of Catholics so they couldn't hear the words of God, and all sorts of crazy propaganda, and it frightened all the Catholics, and they came south. Because there were no They had no support themselves among the South Vietnamese Buddhists. The CIA took all these Catholics who fled from the North And they put them into positions of power in the South. They made them governors. They made them information minister. They put them in charge of the finance. So they basically took all these refugees and used them to create a government and a civilian infrastructure that would do whatever they wanted. And that existed until 1963, when a group of the CIA even arranged for a guy named Ziem to be elected president. He always received 99% of the vote. You know, the elections were totally rigged. And so that situation existed until 1963, when a group of Buddhist generals assassinated Ziem. And at that point, the CIA had to start putting, allowing Buddhists to run parts of the country, although the Catholic infrastructure remained in place and was really a very important mechanism for the CIA in running the country. They're doing the same thing, and as I, you know, have said repeatedly today, in Baghdad, using minorities who are persecuted, putting them in positions of power where they're dependent on the CIA, with the threat that, well, if we, the CIA, leave, then you're going to be at the mercy of your enemies.
Right.
It's a very terrible. The Brits and the French always did that too in their colonies. And it's a way that colonial powers are able to rule a majority of people through a minority that's dependent on them. You know, and you never hear about this stuff, you know, as this being, you know, essential part of American policy around the world. You know, it's an unstated policy. It's secret policy, but it's a main part of the policy.
Right. Now, Henry Kissinger, was he pretty much giving the direction for the country as far as what they should be doing over there? He was probably working for the Rockefellers and Standard Oil, and you know, that I think they were involved in finding the oil in the China Sea.
Yes, you know, the whole thing is about money, and the prospect of being able to make money. And Vietnam really had nothing to offer the United States in terms of minerals or oil. The oil was offshore, and so, you know, there was a lot of negotiations going on, and of course, Kissinger was one of the main people in those negotiations to try and secure for American corporations the offshore rights for all the oil drilling. And, you know, that extended throughout Indochina. But in a lot of ways, the thing that was most valuable to the United States about Vietnam was the Vietnamese. The potential for, you know, however many millions of people there were, I think 50 million, would be a good source of cheap labor, the way that, you know, because Americans make too much money according to the rich who run the country. They're always like offshore, you know, offshoring their companies, the way Nike moved to China. So many industries have moved offshore through NAFTA and globalization that it that 40 years ago, this is what the United States was really eyeing about Vietnam, was a place where companies could move into Pepsi-Cola, clothing manufacturers, whatever, and get people to work in sweatshops for about, you know, 3 cents an hour. That was
right.
The real value for that they saw in Vietnam. And,
right.
And I should tell you that that's actually happening nowadays.
Exactly.
40 years later, it's happening anyway.
And it was kind of interesting the day that the war ended. I mean, they were giving Coca-Cola away. You know, street vendors were giving it away, and all the big corporations were already there.
Yeah, you know, I should stress that Kissinger came in with Nixon, and the Vietnam War had already been was already 5 years old by the time Nixon and Kissinger came on the scene, and it was Kissinger who had the bright idea of bombing Cambodia back into the Stone Age, which they started in 1969, up until Nixon and Kissinger came along, there had been no massive bombing of Cambodia. But it was Kissinger who decided that the North Vietnamese had sanctuaries in Cambodia, and that in order to provide security for the puppet government in Saigon, the United States had to bomb those sanctuaries. And this, I don't know how the demographics of your listeners, but any of us who were alive at the time, and I'm 63, so you know I was in my around 20 years old at the time. That was one of the most outrageous things the United States had ever done. And this was Kissinger, was totally responsible for it, to bomb a neutral country and kill hundreds of thousands of people. And it forced the Cambodians into the arms of the Pol Pot regime, which became one of the most horrible regimes that ever existed. That never would have happened if it wasn't for Kissinger. And the world being what it is, Kissinger got a Nobel Peace Prize.
Isn't that absolutely, totally disgusting?
This is just goes to show how little we really know about and understand about what our government does. The bombing of Cambodia was secret; it was kept quiet from people in the United States for a year until some people in the National Security Council. People who are like, you know, you might consider Bradley Mannings of today, blew the whistle on the bombing, and that was one of when it became public. And of course, the media knew all along what was going on. It wasn't until they were backed into a corner that they had to report it. When they finally did report it, that was probably the main thing that brought about the end of the Vietnam War.
Right. Yeah, Kissinger was really something. I listened to some of the tapes when he was talking about this bombing, and he was so unfeeling. He's a psychopath.
Yeah, and like you say, he works for. He was always in the Rockefellers' pocket, and of course, the Rockefellers very quietly took over most of Latin America, most of South America, and. The people still aren't even really aware of the huge tracts of land and property that the Rockefellers own in Brazil and Argentina and countries all throughout South America, where they have huge farms, and the way they got these huge tracts of lands and was to go in basically and relocate or kill all the native people that live there. And they would pay off corrupt officials to go do this on their behalf. And it's a chapter in American history that people are very, very unaware of, but it's true. And, the Rockefellers have guys like Kissinger's working for them all over the world, who would just as soon kill 10,000 people and take everything they own as, give some money to a charity.
Right. The, what was I going to say? Ho Chi Minh actually worked with the United States government at the end of World War II and was really looking for help from the U.S. government, from Truman.
Absolutely. And this is one of the things that can't be stressed enough. In 1945, after World War II, Ho Chi Minh went to the people that he was working with in the OSS, which preceded the CIA, and he actually had a copy of the Declaration of Independence, and he said, I really love America, and I want our country to be free of the French, and would you help us, please? And if you do, you know, we'll just model our country, new country, on your democracy. And the CIA and the United States government said to him, no, we think not. We're going to give your country back to the French, you know, who had colonized Vietnam for 100 years before. But the United States wanted to have, some of it was racism and some of it was just that they wanted to use the economic institutions that the French had set up and preserve them in France so France would continue to have a source of income and be able to resist communists in Europe. And so the United States told Ho Chi Minh to take a walk, and they supported the French, and that's what basically created the rebellion in Vietnam.
Right. And then there's the issue of drugs that came out of Vietnam.
Excuse me?
And then there's also the issue of drugs that came out of that area.
Well, yeah. And when I was doing the book on Phoenix, I kept hearing about how the CIA was involved in the drug trafficking. But it would have been, to put that into the book would have just made it too complex. So that's what actually got me into writing books about the CIA's involvement, other books about the CIA's involvement in drug trafficking. And one of the reasons it got all these, the CIA was able to get all these Buddhist generals onto its team was that it allowed them to control drug trafficking into Vietnam from what was called the Golden Triangle, this area in Laos and Burma and Thailand where opium was grown and refined into heroin. And it actually transported the heroin for these generals and provided security for the drug trafficking business. And by 1969 and 70, a lot of the addicts in Vietnam were American soldiers. They were actually supporting the Vietnam generals who were and paying them off, getting American soldiers addicted. And of course, they were the American soldiers are just cannon fodder to these guys, so they didn't care.
Right. I mean, even Kissinger said that they were nothing but a bunch of what do you call them? Useless idiots, or not useless idiots, but basically, he said that they were just being exploited just to wage war, and he really didn't care anything about them, of course. And in fact, aren't there still some missing POWs that the government
I don't know about that. I doubt it very much after 40 years. You know, there are people who are MIA,
okay,
missing in action, and there were deserters who, most of whom have been accounted for. There were a few even defectors who went over to the other side. When I was in Vietnam in 1991, I went to Thailand and I talked to just before I went into Vietnam, I talked to a very famous CIA officer named Tony Po, and I asked him if there were any defectors or deserters or POWs left in Vietnam, and he said no, there were no POWs. All there were was about 50 deserters who were still, you know, who had married Vietnamese women and stayed in Vietnam after the war, but that the CIA was very secretly sending in hiring hit teams to go and knock them off, and that one of the conditions for the United States normalizing relations with Vietnam, which it did around 1992, was that all these deserters who were still alive and living in Vietnam would be knocked off, would be killed, in order for the United States to normalize relations with Vietnam, and apparently that happened.
Oh, my.
Yeah, they just killed them. You know, that was the rule, and the Vietnamese really didn't want to knock off these guys, but in order to become part of the world economy, they had to do this for the United States. Otherwise, there would have been they would have been suffering a boycott and embargoes and all sorts of economic hardships forever. And so, it was a price they had to pay. But governments can be pretty ruthless, and so they did it.
Well, didn't the United States sanction Vietnam until they complied and joined the World Trade Organization?
Yes.
Yeah. Somebody in the chat room reminded me, in fact, a couple people, Henry Kissinger referred to soldiers as dumb animals.
Yeah, that's what they think of them, you know, and you can imagine what they think of our enemies is, you know, even less. They just don't have any regard for human life at all, unless it's somebody who makes, you know, $1 billion a year. And, of course, these people who make $1 million a year, like Kissinger, actually contribute nothing to society. They don't work. They don't produce goods or commodities. They live off everybody else's work and everybody else's sweat. And they run the financial institutions, the banks that tax everybody 5 or 10 or 15 or 20 cents on the dollar. But
Doug, we have to take a real quick break.
Than taking a percentage
we have to take a
ground beef, eggs, butter, cheese, soup, sandwiches, strawberries, ice cream, coffee, and more. What do these foods have in common? They all come in storable, long shelf life food for you to save and use in uncertain times. Rather, if it is a meal or a snack for a family or just yourself, CampingSurvival.com offers a huge variety of storable food for you to be prepared anytime. Go to CampingSurvival.com to order all your food. Eat today, save it for tomorrow, or store it for years to come. CampingSurvival.com sells healthy, nutritious, storable food in number 10 cans and pouches. Order online today at CampingSurvival.com. Use code FREEDOM and receive 5% off. CampingSurvival.com. Remember, save 5% off with code FREEDOM at CampingSurvival.com. On all your prepared food needs.
If you would like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself from anything out of bounds concerning cardiovascular or diabetic circulation problems, then this might be the most important ad you'll ever hear. It is possible to acquire a 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and circulation, which works. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. For a long and healthy life, order today by calling 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Order online at heartandbody.com. That's heartandbody.com.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, hempusa.org brings you a new formulation of microplant powder with lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Microplant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At hempusa.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, microplant powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608. 1-908-691-2608. Or visit us at hempusa.org today.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest this hour has been Douglas Valentine, the author of The Phoenix Program. His website is douglasvalentine.com. And right before the break, in fact, we ran over the break. I'm sorry about that. You were talking about the parasitical exploiters who feed off of the rest of us, and I share your sentiments completely. Regarding the drug trafficking, can you make a comparison between the drug trafficking that is now going on in Afghanistan and the fact that American troops are participating in this as they did in Vietnam?
I don't think there's any question or any doubt about it. And the statistics show quite clearly that before the United States invaded Afghanistan in 2001, opium and heroin production were very, 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 very minimal. They had gone way down from the time when the Russians were fighting there. And the Russians basically were, you know, having a big, having the same influence on the drug business that the United States did once it went into Afghanistan. Once the CIA went into Afghanistan, opium production and heroin production increased like 10 times. It just went, just started soaring. And it's the same thing as happened in Vietnam. The only way the CIA, the United States government, can get Afghan politicians and generals to support their policies is to let them make money in corrupt ways, to let them get a piece of the heroin business. And this is how they pay them off in order to betray their country.
And that's what they've done all along. I mean, they've done it all over the world.
Yes, it's standard operating procedure. It's what the CIA does. The CIA is a criminal organization. It works with criminal organizations in every country around the world in order to subvert those countries. It's the typical CIA officer is a good-looking, fast-talking snake oil salesman who has criminal tendencies. That's what these guys are.
Wow. Now, you mentioned one time, I believe it's on this program, that the Phoenix Project was really a model for what they're going to be doing here in this country with the citizens in this country. And do you see that happening right now?
Oh, it's absolutely happening. The Department of Homeland Security is basically the U.S. version of the Phoenix Program, and it has a list. The Department of Homeland Security is coordinating and serving as a cover for the FBI and the CIA and the military to spy on Americans and to recruit informants around the United States. The Department of Homeland Security is running it, the biggest informant net that this country has ever seen. It has FBI informants and military informants and customs informants, and they're all in this big computer program, and it goes through the computer program, and it says, well, let's hire this informant to penetrate this group and tell us what's going on in that group, and it's just the biggest spy organization that's ever been invented, and it costs $100 billion a year of your tax money so that the government can spy on you.
Amazing. Well, we've run out of time, unfortunately. I could talk to you. Oh, I would just, you're a wonderful guest and so informative. Thank you so much.
It's a pleasure to speak with you.
Well, thank you. Let's do this again soon.
Okay.
All righty. Bye-bye.
All right. Adios.